is another thought that I've been chewing on. And the thought is the spirituality of our imperfections. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not offended by your imperfection. Tell your other neighbor, say, I don't care about your imperfections. Come on, tell somebody. You can't be drinking water and then telling people what I tell you to say, Austin. That's not an issue. You better tell. Come on, tell your mama. Tell, he goes back to drinking again. Listen, we all have imperfections. Amen? We all have them. We all have them. Yours, I want you to know, your imperfection, God can do the miraculous through your imperfections. Isn't that good news? Man, he can heal the sick and raise the dead through you. He said, I don't want perfection, I want you. Jesus was perfect. We're working towards that maturity, amen? But he said, just the way you are, in your imperfections, there's something spiritual about it. Isn't that crazy? A crazy thought? There's something spiritual about your imperfection. Because God looks at it and says, I can change the world. I can change the world through every one of you. One of my heroes of faith sitting here, J. Edgar. There he is. He's over there at the fireman's home. They wouldn't let him out for, what, 2 years or something like that in the beginning of COVID, Jay? Jay watched us on television. He just kept praying. He kept seeking God. He was doing his homework. He was doing the Bible college. He was doing everything he was supposed to do. And he said, no, I'm not dying and I'm not stopping and I'm going back to church and I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. Yeah. Said, they can tie me down, strap me to this bed in the fireman's home, not let me out, spoon feed me, whatever they got to do. But I'm going to walk according to the word of God and I'm going to walk in my freedom all the way through it. I just love Jay Brennan. He's one of my heroes, man. And he comes here, and he always has an encouraging word. He always has an encouraging word. And he loves it when I call him Edgar, which is his real name, right, Edgar? Now, he said, can you just call me Jay, Pastor? I said, no, that's J. Edgar Hoover right there, man. He's my hero. But, you know, you're perfectly suited for what God has called you to do. The Hassingers are in Haiti, perfectly suited for what God wants to do in Haiti. They're doing amazing. I mean, they're translating the word of God into Creole. You know, and Wayne, he's learned Creole, and he's out there. He's got the perfect temperament. When these Haitian people come up and they, you know, they bang on his gate every day, all day. The gate's about 20 feet or 30 feet from the house, and they got a sick dog or a goat or whatever it is, and Lisa gets annoyed by it after a while. And but when he walks out there, his temperament, his personality is so suited for Haiti. Because these people, they're very gentle and very, very tender when they come up. Because a lot of times the goats eat a lot of plastic, and so he's got to cut them open. He pulls the plastic out and sews them back up, or, you know, dog won't eat, or whatever he's got to do, whatever the vets do, you know. We were there, and one of the goats gave birth, and so she's grabbing the goat by the front legs and yanking him out, you know. And my wife milked a goat for the first time in her life down there. Incredible. Honey, I just love you all the more. I know that we'll have milk on the table even when times get hard. She learned how to take care and supply, I tell you. The goat was very happy when she quit milking it. You ain't kidding, but... You know, Lisa just grabs her front feet and yanks it so the nose comes out, and that's what you got to get out first, you know. And then we watch the thing. It was just when them people come to the gate and they start talking, and Wayne just waits very patiently and kind. Well, yeah, and then he's very gentle with his words when he's talking to them, and he's sowing seed every time someone comes to that gate. Yes, it's an inconvenience. You want somebody knocking at your door 7 times, 20 times a day? Hey, can you help me? Hey, can you help me? Hey, can you help me? Listen, when this relationship is right, you don't mind helping people because you know that's what you were created for, right? But how many times we get frustrated? Come on, this is my, come back tomorrow. See my wife. I've had enough for today. Whatever it is, Here's 20 bucks. Just go on. How many times? Now, we don't say those things, but how many times do we get frustrated if people keep coming? But his personality goes out there and he meets them and he sowed a lot of seed. And you know, one time it paid off in silver dollars because they were driving in their car and they got these three-wheeled Jeeps, you know, or trikes, you know, that you jump in, you two people sit in the back, guy drives a motorcycle in the front. And these people hit his car and the guy broke his leg. So they took him to the hospital and they paid the hospital bill for it to get fixed. And then Wayne brought him home. Maybe he shouldn't have, but that's between you and the Lord, Wayne and Lisa. But so he brings him home and there's 15 people in the house. And they're all yelling and hollering about giving the money, give money, give money, give money. It's always about money. And he said, no, you know, we paid for everything. They hit me. I didn't hit them. They drove into me. So Wayne goes home, but they got his information. By the time he got home, there's 65 Haitians there yelling and hollering outside of his house that he needs to give this guy money. Yeah, because the one cop that was there gave out the information. So they're trying to get into their house. There's 65 people yelling and screaming at them, give us money. You give this man money. You broke his leg. And then all of a sudden, here comes 45 other Haitians, and they stand in between Wayne and Lisa and their family and the 65 others that are screaming and yelling. And they said, oh, no. Oh, no, it's not right. You're not getting anything, and get out of here. And so all the love and all the mercy of banging on the gate, taking care, preaching the word of God, translating it into another language and sowing into people's lives, 45 people came and stood with them that they don't even know and defended them before a mob that was coming after them. Even when I can't see it, he's working. He was working in the hearts of all of those people at the right time when they needed a miracle. God performed one, and it changed their lives. And Lisa's just doing amazing. She's got more ideas for ministry. She started a horse riding program and then the soccer program, and they've got like 50 or 60 kids come to their house every week, twice a week. And they do soccer with them, and then they teach them the word of God, and they give them snacks. And then Wayne goes down to the school, and he's teaching 30, 40, 50, 60 kids at a time in a school. And he's doing the puppet, but he's trying to learn the language. And I told him, I said, Wayne, I got to say it. You need help with your puppet ministry, all right? You got to get your son and daughter involved. So he's trying to speak it in Creole. And so the puppet's mouth isn't moving, and he's reading Creole, trying to translate it in his own mind and speaking English at the same time. And there sits the puppet. And Wayne is, yes, and the Lord says he loves you. And we have to. I was dying. I was on the other side, and I'm like, but he's my hero, because I can't speak Creole. I only know one language, and that one I don't do very well on. And here he is. He's learned another one in a couple of years, and he's translating on paper, writing out all kinds of different sermons, and they're using now what he's writing, all his lessons, in the churches. It's going out into other churches, preaching the word of God. They have stepped into what God is, but it cost them. He had a very successful large animal business, and he sold it all in his house and everything he had with a little help from his wife, because she wanted it just as bad as him. And they were in agreement, and they said, we'll sell it all so that we can touch one in Haiti. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Haiti is not number one, not one of the top destinations in the world to go to. It's not. But it's the center of the universe for them. And they said, we'll do what he called us to do in the midst of it. How glorious it is. Can I tell you, maybe it's your neighborhood. I'm not asking you to go to Haiti. But Wayne's not very good with mechanics. So he said, listen, if you got a couple, husband and wife, that want to come down, and he knows how to do mechanical stuff, I'll get the parts. He can rebuild my car. We can hang out. And then we'll take them down to the beach for a couple of days. So if you have any volunteers, come and see me, okay? You want to take your wife, go down there, do some ministry, work on the cars, get them up and running because they need help with that. Stay with them for a few days, and then they'll said, we'll go over to the resort and stay there. The resorts are very nice and beautiful beaches. So if you're interested, see me afterwards. There, I said it, Wayne, all right? But these are things that are going on in people's lives that said, I believe in miracles. I believe he can do it through me. I'm not waiting for someone else to step up. I know it's my time. I know I've got an anointing. I know I've got a purpose, and I know God is creating me for this time, this season, and it's now in the name of Jesus. And they're changing Haiti, and we're so blessed to be a part of it. We just loved being with them, and just loved being with them. And, then we have another special guest with us this morning. Miss Pat is back. She's out of the hospital. Yep. She's only got one lung left in her. But by golly, she's doing a world of business. Right, Miss Pat? Feeling wonderful?
Thank you.
Amen. That's right. Amen. He's a good God. So she, they took one of her lungs out, and she had to stay home for a little bit till she got healed up, and now she's back in the house of God and building the kingdom. So we're so thankful for that. You know, just one more thing. Then we took the boys away for an overnight down in Monticello. There was a water park because they weren't supposed to be going to the wedding with us this week when my son Nicky gets married on Thursday. So we're leaving tomorrow morning. And we went to the water park, and it's a pretty good water park. But can I just tell you, I had so much fun praying for people down there in that water park. This little girl, she was the bartender, and she came out, wasn't open or nothing. And so I just sat there and talked to her. She was this little girl from Boston. How she got to Monticello up in the hills, I have no idea. Well, I do. She went. Her sister had a baby. She went to help her. So she got a job out there. I said, you're such a good sister. She said, I am. And then I just got to talk to her about the Lord, and I said, you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I do. You go to church? I did. Yep, from Boston. I haven't found one out here. I said, what kind of church you go to in Boston? Christian. That's a sign right there. I said, oh, yeah? What kind? I don't know. I said, all right, sit down. So she sat down. She was just putting bottles all on the shelves and said, sit down, we got to talk. So for the next 20 minutes, I got to preach Christ and just love on her. And then before we left, I said, give me your hand. We're not leaving without praying for you. And so me and my bride got to pray for her and just encourage her. Then there was another lady got to pray for her. And then there was this one boy. He was a young kid, probably in his 20s, you know. He didn't got the brains God promised an animal cracker. And, well, you could tell by the sweatshirt he was wearing. Because on the back of it, it's the name of the company is Scum. There's your sign. And the top of the sweatshirt, it says, don't pray for me. And it's got a woman like this with blood coming out of her eyes. Mary, I think it was Mary. And so I'm like, if you wear a shirt like that, and it says, don't pray for me, you got to expect questions, right? So I went up to him and I said, excuse me. He said, yeah. I said, that shirt you were wearing, is there a reason why you wear that sweatshirt? I like the company, man. I said, what's the company? It's Scum. I wanted to say, I think it's time to like aim a little higher. All right, but I didn't. I don't want to be a wise guy. And I said, okay, but on the top of it, it says, don't pray for me. Is that the way that you feel? He said, just a sweatshirt, man. I said, I just like the company, and that's just my sweatshirt. That's all it is. I said, well, can I ask you another question? Do you not want people to pray for you? And he said, well, man, you know what? It doesn't even matter. I said, well, it does. He said, don't start with your opinion. I said, oh, it's not my opinion. I said, the historicity of the word of God is unparalleled by any other book on the planet. That's just your opinion. I'm working with a genius here. All right? I said, no, that's not my opinion. That's your rhetoric, he says. Now, I want guys like that sometimes because it helps us hone our skills. Right? Where your emotions don't get involved. And I said, I just want to ask you a question. Just keep stepping, man. Keep stepping. All right. Can I ask you a question? No, I didn't do that, but if I thought about it, I would have. I said, I just want to ask you a question. He says, no, just keep. I said, what are you so afraid of? I ain't afraid of nothing. I said, you're afraid of a question. Just let me ask you. Just keep stepping, man. That's your rhetoric, man. That's all he kept. He didn't have one answer. He knew like two sentences, not even complete ones. Keep stepping and your rhetoric. That's about all he knew. But you know what? When you find people that are petrified like that, I love tormenting them. I mean, I love trying to encourage them. But I just wanted to tell them about the love of Christ. And so I got a couple of shots in as far as the love of God. But I know he'll think twice about wearing that sweatshirt again. So just a couple of quick testimonies, guys. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to look at that for a couple of minutes this morning. The Bible says that every time we get together, you should have something to share. You should have something to share about what God has done in you, through his word, in prayer, prophecies, words that he's given you, things that he's showing you in the word of God, testimonies about people that we're talking to, we're winning to Christ. Whatever we're doing, every time we get together, we should have something to share. Amen? Every single time we get together. Every time. So, 1 Kings chapter 17. Oh, let me go there. Excuse me. Ah. I can't get that song out of my head. Ah. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite, and everybody knows this story, but now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself in the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up, and because there was no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I am gathering a few pair for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it leads us and guides us. We thank you for the way you teach us and you renew our minds. We're so thankful, Father, that we get to read it over and over and over and over again and be reminded of your power, of your love, of your mercy, and how your grace is always, always, always more than enough. No matter what situation we walk through, you've already prepared a way of escape, a way through, and provision for each and every one of us. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now today, as we look at this, and we're going to title it, be called Abundant, but we're not talking about prosperity in the natural, all right? So let's shut that off. I think there's enough preaching on that in America, and they've taken it way too far. So it's not about, we're not talking about the prosperity in the natural, okay? Tell your neighbor, say, not in the natural. Okay, we're talking about the spiritual provisions that overflow. The spiritual provisions, you know, is the Holy Spirit enough for each one of us? You know, is he enough? Or is he more for one than the rest of us? Is he more for someone else? Is he more for a few? Or is he enough for each and every one of us? Is the power of God, is it manifested in each one of us enough? or do we still have to wait or try to become? And that's a thought that you need to answer in your head. See, I know the Word of God says that when we ask, we receive. Amen? Amen. He said, if you want the Holy Ghost, ask and you shall receive him, right? That's what the Scripture says. You don't have to work at it. So many people want to work at it, and we make it something much different than what God said. When Paul asked, hey, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? They said, we've only heard the baptism of John. What are you talking about? And it was a baptism in the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is the power of God manifested in us and therefore through us. Amen? There's a reason why we can run through a troop and jump over a wall, because of the power of God in us. Not because, tell your neighbor, say, you're weak without him. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're nothing without him. That's what the Scripture says. We're not saying something out of context, out of the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says. Without him, we are nothing. And so we've got to find out what we are with him. That's the problem in the church. What are you with him? We know what you were without him. We were all in the same boat, right? And we were all out of control, foolish, silly, making, you know, beat up, battered, bruised, whatever it was. But now that we come to Christ and that blood's enough to wash and to cleanse and to make whole, and then he fills us with his Holy Ghost. Now, what are you? Because if you're still what you used to be, then you don't know who you are. And if you still think the way you used to think, then we're not renewing our mind according to the Word of God. And therefore, we deny the very power of God, and we say that God doesn't do it for everyone. Tell your neighbor, say, he does it for you. All right, Isaiah, I was making sure. All right. I didn't hear it. I saw lips moving, but I wasn't sure. His desire is for each one to walk in that, not for a couple. Why is it that out of the church, only a couple actually believe it enough to grab a hold of it and to walk out in it? Because faith is going to be, you're going to have to take a risk in order to walk in faith. Amen? You're going to have to take a leap of faith sometime. And there's going to be risk involved, that you're going to have to step out and believe and trust God that he's going to do it. When you get to the end of yourself and you take that step of faith, that's when God starts to step in. Most of the time we do whatever we want to do according to our own strength with our means of what we have figured, what we have planned, and what we desire to do. I guess I'm the only one, hon, because nobody, you didn't even agree with me. My wife. I've lived it. I've lived it? Okay. What, with me? Walking through that? Well, all right. But if we look at verse 14 there, it says, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty. Now, the oil is always representing the Holy Ghost, amen? And God's saying here, he's talking to him, and he said, look, through Elijah. Elijah says, look, at that bowl is not going to run empty. He's talking to a widow. Now, here's Elijah, right? He gives the word to Ahab. God says, okay, go hang out somewhere. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you, because this guy's going to lose his mind when it stops raining. And we already know what they do to the prophets, right? They already kill the prophets. So God said, look, I want you over here. I'm going to feed you with the raven. We're going to take care of that. Sit by the brook, drink out of the brook. We're going to bring you meat and bread. How many want to eat something that was brought in the feet of a raven? Or maybe he dropped it out of his beak. Yeah. That might take a little bit of faith. But if that's all you got, eventually, you're going to have to trust him. Sometimes we look at what God's asked us to do and we say, oh no, I'm not going that far. The Lord, come on, you know me. He said, yeah, that's why I'm trying to rebrand you, remold you, reshape you. I know you. That's what he does to all of us, amen? So he says, you stay there. I'm going to feed you with the raven. And he says, okay, the brook is dried up. I'm going to go and I'm going to lead you to this woman. And I commanded her. I'm going to command her. Look, God is not playing around. He takes care of his people, amen? Here's this prophet that has walked out in the desert, gave a word to Ahab. He knows his life is in jeopardy. God's feeding him with a raven. And then God said, hey, go meet this woman. I'm going to command her to take care of you and feed you. I wonder what his thoughts were. Finally, get out of the stinking desert. No more ravens feeding me. This woman, yeah, this must be a really nice place God's bringing me to. No, it was Haiti. And but he brings, the woman has no money. I wonder what his first thoughts were. Oh, here we go again. Does every day have to be a day of faith? I walk in, she doesn't even have enough bread to feed her family. She doesn't have enough oil. But he gives her a word that he gets from the Lord. And he says, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty. That's a word for you this morning. No matter how far you walk in the Lord, I want you to know the bowl of flour will never be empty and the oil will never run dry. Amen. He never will. Your God is too big. He's too awesome. He's, listen, you don't know what's coming. He's already got it planned. Right? I believe it was Ashley that said when we were fasting, all you got to do is step into that footprint that's already there in front of you. And the provision is there. The direction is there. What he's got for you is there. There's no guessing. There's no wanting. There's no desire. There's only an opportunity to step out in faith. And this is what God's looking for, especially in this time, in this season. He's commanded the widow to sustain you. Even a widow with very little has the ability to sustain you. And again, we're not talking about the natural things. We're talking about spiritual things. Listen, if you're a widow or a widower in here, we just did Miss Joanne's funeral yesterday and spent time with the family and encouraged everyone there. And now Rob's got to make a decision. He's lost his bride. Can God still use him? Just as mighty as he ever wanted to use him. Amen? So if you're here and you're a single person and you're not married, you should be giving yourself to nothing but the kingdom of God, according to the scriptures. And if you don't have time, I'll look at the camera, okay, so nobody gets offended. If you don't have time for the kingdom of God, then your life is out of order and you've got wrong priorities. And sometimes we're chasing after the very thing that we don't have as we look around and see what others are walking in. And we've got to be able to walk out the plan that God has. Why? Because the flour bowl will never get empty and the oil will never run dry. Amen. It'll never run dry. So whatever you've been searching for, I want you to know it's in him rather than grabbing a hold of something else. It's not from someone in here and it's not from anyone else out there. It only comes from the Father. Because there's some marriages that need a little bit more Jesus Christ in them. Amen? We all do. I need more of him in my marriage than I ever had. She's gotten tougher over the years, man. She used to be naive. She was so nice. Now it's like, wow. I say anything. No. What about that? No. We're not doing that. I used to be able to get away with that. You ain't now. Huh? Well, you're not that bad, no. It just seems that way to me. She's amazing. But this isn't the Middle East. No throwing your shoe at me, all right? My name isn't George Bush. Leave me alone. He said, I've commanded the widow to sustain you. How wonderful it must have been for him to go there and get another word from the Lord and then watch God supply. Miraculously. She had enough oil to cook for one last bit, right? The plan was to eat and die. I can't tell you how many Christians I've talked to over the years that are looking for a way out and off the earth. They sit in their houses and they watch Christian television. So I looked at the TV because some of them haven't come back to church, you know, so they're watching Christian television, but they sit in their houses and they watch Christian television and they're just waiting for that day to go home. How sad. How powerful a God is theirs. God, I just want to hide in my house until you come and get me. I can't deal with life. I can't deal with people. I love you, Lord, but I just can't deal with people. One man said, the ministry is amazing if it weren't for the people. Just telling, it wasn't me. It was someone else. But when we look at your life, listen, that flower is never going to run out, and that oil is not going to run dry in your life. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're in a dry time in your life right now. I want you to know he's getting ready to pour some more out because there's an expectation that he has of the increase in your life. There's an expectation that he has of the increase in fruit in your life because of the power of God on the inside of you. This man obeyed God, went and gave a word. He fed him with a raven, sent him to the widow. The widow now starts to cook, and she has more than enough. And then Elijah has the audacity to say, yeah, I know you don't have nothing, just enough for you and your son, but make me something to eat first. You know what that headline would be in the news today? Any idea what they would say about that guy? They'd rip him from post to pillar. Are you afraid of what they're going to put in the newspaper about you? We'll find out. Because if you step out in the things of God, everything you said and did 25 years ago, they will use against you. And will it be their opinion or God's opinion that will keep you going? Because you're going to be bad-mouthed. It's just that simple. You get used to it after a while. You do. It hurts in the beginning a lot. But then you grow and you get closer to the Father, and then man's opinion doesn't mean as much. And then you have the strength to keep walking through because you're not here to serve man. I'm here to serve God. And in that, we preach the gospel. Right? That's what we do. We preach the gospel in order to serve man. We pray for man, but I serve God with everything that's inside of me. That's my desire. Still got a lot of work to go in my life. How arrogant would he have sounded and how selfish? How dare he ask a poor woman to give him anything? You know, the man was they would have said he was a false prophet. And he would have compounded his sin, you know. But the Lord said, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So until the day that natural stuff starts to come in, God does things supernaturally. Whatever God's called you to go and do, it may sound crazy, but I want you to know, you're going to have to take a leap of faith and a risk at one point and say, I do trust God. And walk away from what you think and do exactly what he said. Because Elijah had to go and he had to give the word to Ahab, knowing what it might cost him. But he did it anyway. You know, and when we step out in this is where we see the unbelievable, infinite supply of what God has for your life. Amen. Right? He said, hey, go make that food. I know you're going to just eat the last bit and die, but go make me something first. Because I got a God a little bigger than your batch of oil. I got a God that's a little bigger than your barrel of flour or your bowl of flour. And he trusted in his God. You know, it's time for us to think instead of holding back from fear of all of the negatives. Anybody here have a negative thought this week? Okay, four people. Father, forgive the liars in this room. Set them free in the name of Jesus. We see the infinite supply of God. And there's never a lack as long as we're abiding in him. Amen. Man is always going to come up short with supplying you for all that you need. But your flour and your oil will never run out when we trust in the Lord our God. Never will. No matter what he's called you to do, he's got more than enough. So how many that are holding back from the fear of negatives? When we ought to invest heavily into the kingdom and into his church and leave the results to him. I forget who we were talking to the other day. Todd White is an evangelist that goes around. He said he prayed for 1,000 people for healing before he saw the first healing. Sometimes God's got to work things out of us before he allows us to receive. He's got to get us a little bit stronger so we don't think it's us sometimes. Amen? He wants to make sure that our minds are on him and not what he's about to do so that people call on our name. But he said he prayed for 1,000 people before anything happened. He said I was getting so discouraged. I would too. But he knew the flour will never run out and the oil will never run dry. And if my God's word says it, then I'm not going to stop until I see it manifested in and through my life. And I wish to God that each of us would, as Pastor Bob preached last week, would fall so in love with the Father. We would understand the power of his love that did not withhold his only begotten son for each one of us. Not so that we could walk aimlessly through life or just act like the world does and just get a job and just plan for my retirement and just do things that heathens do. That's not why he set us apart. He set us apart to do the extraordinary. He set us apart to trust him to go out and win one soul at a time. Maybe 10, 15, 20. I don't know what your gift is. But he said, I want you to have supernatural fruit. The heathen are chasing after the natural fruit. That's not my body because my flour never runs out and my oil never runs dry. Amen. But would somebody believe and trust in that enough to go share the love of the Father with someone? In 2 Kings 4:3, when Elisha then, he had the same experience almost. And he went and there was only a little bit of oil left. And he said, pour all the oil into the vessel, into the empty vessel. Maybe you come here today and you feel a little bit empty. I want you to know God wants to fill you up today. Yes. That's what he does. He fills up his vessels. And she said, I filled them all. He said, go get some more. God's supernatural provision is amazing. It's spiritual and it's supernatural. It's not natural. It doesn't come the way that you think. It's not going to happen the way that you planned it. You can think it all you want and you can prepare all you want, but if God wants to make a change, you're going to have to get ready for change. Amen? Amen. And we know that 87% of Americans hate change. Amen. So that means there's 13% in this room that like change. There's only 13% of sickos in this room that want change. But are you satisfied with where we're at right now? With the prophet Elijah, he found in that similar situation where the supply of the Lord was extraordinary. And they went and they found every jar in the city. And they filled it all up. They filled them all up. And she said, there are no more. God had enough to fill every single one of them. That means there's enough in this room to fill every single one again. And no matter where you go or how many come into this house, there's enough to fill every single vessel. Why? Because of his insatiable love towards us. He loves us to the point where he said, look, if you'll ask, I'll give it to you. I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. The creditors were coming for this woman and going to take her kids because she couldn't pay her debts. And then God not only met her need, but then her and her sons lived off of the excess of what she made from the oil. With God, there's always excess. In Christ, we're talking spiritual. We're not talking about natural. We're not talking about you gathering stuff under yourself. We're talking about the spiritual things that God has put inside of you that we are to pour out. You see, when we get close with him, when we're intimate with him, we always have something to pour out. But when we don't read and we don't pray and we're not alone with him, when we've got the wrong idea of what fellowship is, where I need a man or a woman in my life to build me up, please, I need a best friend that'll strengthen me. I need somebody that can come alongside of me. And we do need that. But if that's a priority, then our priorities are out of line. Because nobody here can fill me with that oil that overflows. That's right. Only the King of Glory. We've looked at it from everywhere else and every 1 ounce and everything that man has concocted has tried to find a way to fill themselves up, and they can't. They can't because they always come up short. God's the only one that goes above and beyond. She had nothing of value in her house, just a single pot of oil. Maybe you're the only one in your family that knows Jesus Christ. That's all God needs to save your whole family. That's all God needs. My mom was the only one in our family that knew Jesus Christ. And then she went to praying. She got with some other women and she started to believe the word of God. And she didn't stop when things got tough. Did things ever get tough, Mom? Puh, she says. I think every one of us have a puh. Right? We always go through tough things. But she was one pot in our family. We just celebrated her 81st birthday yesterday. So we're, yeah. She was one pot in the family. That was it. That's all God needed. Listen, I don't know where your family's at today, but I know you're all God needs. Yeah, but you don't know my family. They're crazy. They all are. So were you until you, some of you still are, but most of you were, crazy before you came to Christ. But all God needs is you to set your whole family free and to change your entire neighborhood. He needs one pot to pour themselves out. One pot. He said, pour it out into the next vessel. They poured it out into the next vessel, and that one filled to overflowing. She said, go get some more. Poured it out into another vessel. Poured themselves out into another vessel. This is all God's looking for. Some are sitting around full to the top and said, I'm good till Jesus comes. God said, no, I want that poured out. I've got a whole lot more. I've got more people. I want to keep filling. Every single vessel in the city he filled. Every one of them. That's who you are.
That's right.
That's who you are in Christ. We're coming into a different season in America. And I want you to know that if this is off, you're going to struggle. And if this is off, don't blame it on me.
That's right.
I am not your problem.
No.
I might be hers, but I am not your problem. All right? I am not. You cannot stand before God and say, he never told us. I'm telling you. You have to fall in love with the Father. You get everything you need from him and no one else. The minute you try to look to somebody else and say, you fulfill me. Can't happen. She can't do it. And then you're going to try to demand something from someone else that they can't produce. And then you're going to get frustrated, and then you're going to abuse the situation, because where use is not known, abuse is inevitable.
Right.
Every marriage in here that doesn't, or that has been in here, or every marriage, probably pretty much, unless you were born again, spirit-filled, saved right from the very beginning, there's been some type of an abuse. Because we didn't, and I'm not talking about physical and all of that, but there was an expectation that you had from another person to fulfill you. And then you got frustrated and angry and mad or whatever the reasoning was. We just went over this, right, Josh? Josh and Megan are getting ready to get, married. So are Jake and Molly. My goodness, these people, young people, are just falling in love everywhere and jumping out of their minds. I never want to go back to day one. I'm going to be praying for you guys a lot, all right? And you'll make it. You'll be all right. But it's going to be a lot of work. Be the hardest thing you ever did. And I told him, the only way out of this marriage is one of you just die. There's no other way out. You get married, you're in it till death do you part.
That's right.
Better get that in your mind. The church threw it out a while ago. Well, but what about? All because we've thrown it all out. So many, not us. But so many churches have thrown it out. Situational ethics now take over. God said, wait a minute, how do I fill another pot? You're all busted and broken. Now you're walking away, guilt and shame, and all of these things are in your mind and you're struggling, and I want to pour you out into another vessel. This is what I have for your life. Josh, let me tell you something. We'll talk. Jacob? All right, just so we understand each other. There's no lack of supply with the Lord. There's only lack of willing vessels.
That's right.
Tell your neighbor, say, not me.
Not me.
There's no lack in God. Only the vessels. The life of the Lord is always looking for expression through a willing vessel that is both yielded and empty. Because if you're full in your own right, then you're not going to allow God to fill you up and you don't need anything. Therefore, you're going to do nothing for him. But when we pour ourselves out, God says, oh, He asked the half-seers to go to Haiti. They poured out. They sold everything and they poured themselves out. And they said, Lord, we don't know how you're going to do this, but we believe you can. And he's filling their vessels with oil. They've even got two young men that they're training. They're both getting married this year. This must be the year for weddings or something. I don't know. But both of these Haitian guys are like 28 years old, I think. And they're both getting married here in the next couple of months. Wayne and Lisa have been working with these guys, training these guys. These guys are now doing the teaching and the preaching. They're going into their different churches and teaching the word of God. They're starting to transform more people's lives. And they're both of them are vets also. So Wayne keeps training them in their veterinary skills, but then they go to work on people's animals and they get to pray for people and encourage. And the word of God is being spread through their natural means of making a living. See, the reason why you have a job is to win souls. Amen? Otherwise, you'd never meet those people. And you're right where God wants you. I hate my job. How many times we hear that? I hate being here. Well, get them all saved and God will promote you to another job. That's the way it works. You finish your job there, God will give you another one. And he'll bring you into a whole nother slew of heathens. With church, don't pray for me. And he'll help hone your skills so you start to pour yourselves out so he fills you up and you have enough for every vessel that you work with. Yeah, but I can't take him. Well, you better. You better learn how to. Because I can't take you either, but I've learned how to. Well, some of you is anyway. God's got a plan and a purpose. Look at your, what's the word again, Bren? Spiritual. Your imperfections are beautiful in the eyes of God. We're not talking about gross sin. We're not talking about that goofy stuff. We're talking about the little things that you do and the way that you are. Your little imperfections. I don't think God's intimidated by them. But I think we get distracted by them. And God wants to remove the distraction. Amen? Let's stand up this morning. Psalms 23, verse 1 says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Right? He's your shepherd. You lack nothing. And then it says, he anoints my head with oil. And my cup overflows. Once again, his word saying, when God is in your life, there's an overflow. And it's enough to fill every other vessel in town. Every single one of them. Proverbs 11:25, it says, the generous man will be prosperous. And he who waters will himself be watered. You pour yourself out, God's going to fill you up. The more you get filled up, the more you're going to splash over. In that word overflow, it means that cup that just runs over, that coffee cup that runs over and fills the saucer underneath it. And then it runs out onto the table and down across and onto the floor. You ever have your grandchild fill your coffee cup? You know this experience. God's supply is infinite for you. For you, for you, for every single person here. His supply is infinite. No matter how many vessels he sends near you, he's got enough to fill every one of them through you. Don't ever doubt it. But we've got to find him greater than any other relationship on the planet. We've got to make him. We've got to fall so in love with him that I'd rather be with him than anyone else. And then when I'm done ministering to the Lord and he's done filling me, then everywhere we walk, we're just filling another vessel. We're filling another vessel, no matter who they are. That's what we do. That's where we're going, guys. Because if we don't have disciples, we're not doing what he said. It's that simple. It's that simple. We've got to be those that make disciples. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Oh God, Lord, just the thought of it, the God of more than enough, oh God. Thank you, Father. And just as your disciples said, Lord, we've toiled all night and have caught nothing. Yet at your word, we will let our nets down. Father, I pray, at your word, we will press into your presence. At your word, we will agree with who you have said we are. At your word, we will stand and proclaim it. At your word, we will pour ourselves out from one vessel to the next, knowing that when we pour ourselves out, you fill us up even more. And Lord, I thank you that as each and every person pours themselves out this week, knowing that their God has created them for this time and this season, Lord, let down their nets. Cause them to let down their nets and draw another. Draw another. Draw another. Let our hearts be like Mary's was in John chapter 2 when she said, whatever he says, just do it. And he changed the water into wine. Father, this week, whatever you say, we're just going to do it. We're going to walk out in faith. We're going to step out in faith. We're going to agree that we're vessels of honor. And Lord, that you're going to take and pour us out and fill another and fill another and fill another. And Lord, we're not going to try to be the ones that keep track, but we're going to allow you to take over. Once your word is shared, once the love has been administered, once the goodness of God has been imparted, then Lord, you're the one that changes a heart. We just simply do our job. We pour out and you take care of the rest. We're so thankful, Father, for all that we can do in you. We agree that apart from you, we can do nothing, but in you, all things are possible. Today, Father, let us walk out vessels filled with the love of God, filled with the power of God, filled with the anointing of God. Lord, just walking out in it, walking out in the gift of God. Whoever it is, wherever it is, let us be those men and women that don't hold back. Whatever he says, we're going to do it this week. We thank you, Father, for filling us up in Jesus' name. Amen.